This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
D1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
This hour of the Gray Hill Show brought to you by the 2020 Subaru Forester. Ready for long drives beneath the sun, SubaruofNewEngland.com.
This is the most beloved Boston athlete ever. Mm-hmm. And the Boo Birds are going to come out. And it's a tough place. I believe it would be a tough place for a black quarterback to succeed unless they succeed at the highest level,
right.
The Brady-esque level.
Yeah. Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blues. Still, I had a blues man on the back and a nutrition out the wheel.
Skip suggesting that it'll be difficult for a black quarterback to be successful in a city that has embraced Mookie Betts, David Ortiz,
Randy Moss,
Troy Brown,
Paul Pierce,
Rodney Harrison.
Never heard of him.
Kevin Garnett.
Robert Parrish.
What? I mean, Curtis, you actually called it. I have to give you credit, and I don't do that a lot. You said it was going to be the national narrative in the fall. It's apparently now the national narrative right this moment.
Well, the thing is, it's just too easy for these shows that rely on the lowest common denominator to get any traction. And so it's race, never been hotter in America. Mm-hmm. The Patriots, the most polarizing team in America. Tom Brady, the most greatest quarterback in NFL history. And Cam Newton, one of the most polarizing quarterbacks in the NFL. So you put all that together and you inject the race and the history that Boston has with racism, and you have a front page nationwide talker.
Have you ever, can you point to a single Patriots player who ever said anything negative with regard to how he was treated by fans?
Drew Bledsoe.
From not a white guy.
All right.
Michael Bishop.
No, have you? Can nope. You? Anybody?
I mean, look at how nice Max Lane treated Reggie White in the Super Bowl. He didn't even block him.
Please, by all means, sir. After you.
Well, Skip does say again. Black quarterback. He doesn't say black athlete in Boston. It would be tough for a black quarterback in Boston. But we've really never experienced that in terms of a starter the whole way through. We haven't tested it yet.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett had the support of the fans when he was in for
did
Jimmy
he start?
G. He did. He started
the whole year.
No, I'm just.
He started two games, Ken.
Okay, he wasn't the starter. I mean,
right. The only experience that I have as a Patriots fan growing up with an African-American quarterback was just Michael Bishop, who was the favorite backup. Like, every team had a guy that, you know, when you had a mediocre quarterback, you'd always say, put the other guy in. And Bishop was a fan favorite. Obviously not the same stratosphere as Cam Newton, and the Patriots were not the national team that they are now. But I think that Patriots fans have shown, if Skip Bayless really wanted to do his homework and listen to Boston sports radio over the last several weeks, he would have heard a fan base that was excited, thrilled, pumped to have Cam Newton come in and not that white guy, Jarrett Stidham, start week one. I think if we did a poll, are you happy the Patriots signed Cam Newton? I think it'd be 95% yes.
Well, what's the media reaction been? It's not been 100%, 95% yes on Cam.
Well, Kurt,
far from it.
Yeah, but now you're going down the Wiggy road, which is that is all based on race, which is ridiculous.
Well,
I don't know that it's entirely ridiculous. I think there's still going to be some kind of element of something at play. While it's not at the top of people's minds or at the forefront of what they're saying right now, if Cam Newton comes in and with all the hype, everybody's all excited, he's doing his videos, everybody's like, yep, let's do it. I don't care who it is. I just want to win another Super Bowl. And he doesn't perform. I hate to lean on, you know, the stuff that Wiggy talks about, because I know some people have an issue with it. But, you know, he was talking about yesterday with the social media stuff, you know, and because Cam's a black athlete, because of the way he acts on social media, people have a certain viewpoint about it. And I think if he doesn't succeed here, you're still going to have this group of people. It might not be huge, but I think there's going to be some element of the fan base here, regardless of what other black athletes they may have accepted previously. They're going to turn their nose up at it.
By the way, speaking of Wiggy, did anybody wake him up and tell him that Megan Thee Stallion was shot?
Oh, yeah, in the foot.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, she was out with Kylie Jenner and somebody else. They were at a house party. Cops got called. Gunshots were fired. She wound up with an injury.
Do we really think, by the way, Curtis, you forgot Rohan Davey as well. Remember how excited we were for him? So we actually think that there's going to be a faction of the fan base in Foxborough that's going to be like, I don't really understand like all like the moves and all that culture. Like, that's not for me. So they're not going to like embrace him as quarterback. They won't buy the jersey. They'll be turned off by him under center saying like, I like the good old days, you know, when it was Brady and Gronk and Amendola and Edelman, you know, the Nantucket formation.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, the Chad formation. What they're saying.
Well,
Skip and Shannon are basically saying that any criticism that comes Cam Newton's way is going to be based on his race.
He didn't say that. He said it's possibly going to be difficult. That's going to be brought up. You don't doubt that if Cam struggles and there's criticism, it's going to become, well, why is he getting criticized? Well, that's going to be part of the guessing game.
Well, that's going to be discussed. It doesn't mean it's accurate. And secondly, I believe that the reason why Belichick is leaking the Stidham starting week one to Zoe and Ordway is because you don't want to be the guy that replaces Tom Brady, right? Let's have Stidham start week one, say Cam need a little bit of time just to get indoctrinated in the offense and to get fully healthy, and then Cam Newton replaces the guy that replaced Tom Brady, not Tom Brady himself.
What? That Stidham's
going to
start
right
week
now.
One?
That's why he's leaking it. That makes perfect sense to me. You don't want Cam Newton to start week one and have the eyes of the world on his performance, the fans' reaction,
we brought Cam in, Stidham didn't have to start week one.
The guy's an MVP quarterback.
I don't know.
You think he can't handle the pressure?
That is not at all what I am saying. I think he'd be fine to handle the pressure. I think Skip Bayless is an absolute moron. That's not my point. I'm saying, why would Belichick be leaking this now? We know he leaked the Stidham is great to Jeff Howe because he wrote this glowing piece that Stidham is going to be starter week one, no competition needed, the QB room is set with Hoyer and Stidham. That was obviously a lie. We have this situation where Belichick's leaking to two powerful media entities in Boston.
Which ones are you talking about?
the only reason, Curtis, why this has been leaked to the media, through, you know, these other guys is because he wants to make sure that Cam doesn't come in and just completely think that this is the same reason why that he probably was going to be tough on Stidham, because you're not going to humble Cam Newton. He said he was tired of being humbled. But you can't just say like, okay, it's all yours, do what you want with it. Like, there's a certain process. There are ways and means by which Belichick will still operate. I think he's going to cut Cam Newton more slack and handle him differently, because Belichick, while you think he treats everyone the same, actually kind of doesn't. And that's one of the secrets and keys to him being able to get the most out of people.
Did they put out a Stidham hype video and put out jerseys in the, I mean,
it's
number
ridiculous.
One
yes,
Newton
but
jersey?
Had, yeah, but
look
it was
what
behind,
you're wearing,
it was
by the way.
It was behind the paywall, and you weren't allowed
Newton
to wear it. I wore it just to upset you today.
I like the Newton sighting, but it's just, like, who are you fooling? I mean...
All right. Is that your own shirt or
nope.
did you? No. Okay.
Nope.
Somebody's already selling that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the welcome to Newton. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Cam Newton sign.
See, he looks sort of like
entering Cam Newton.
Here you go, radio.com viewer.
Greg, good news for you.
Oh, yes.
Greg, good news for you. If you go to Argentina, you can get the Get Ready for Stitty t-shirts. Those are all over.
I live in Tuca's shed.
But you really believe that Belichick, right now at this point, is leaking to Zolak or others?
Well, he may not personally be, but Burge or somebody, Ernie, somebody's doing his dirty work.
Ernie doesn't even have a flip phone.
I mean, he sent it in Morse code.
I mean, you don't find it strange that Zolak and Ordway both had the same take in the span of 12 hours that Stidham's going to be the starter week one?
No.
When it's an open competition?
No, I don't, because you made a great point. The Patriots have hyped up this signing more as much as any other. So I don't know.
But that's a different part of the building.
If you don't expect that he's coming in here as the presumed starter, then I think you're an idiot.
Right. And then, how bad will it look for the organization? Again, that's not Belichick's concern. He does what's in the best interest of the football team, Jesus Christ. But how bad is it going to look? It's going to look as bad as it did for Edelman selling, like, you know, Stay Tom, New England is a Tomocracy t-shirts before Brady bolted for Tampa Bay. Now to be like front and center of the pro shop selling Cam Newton number one jerseys, and he's going to get cut in late August? Get out.
And it's a tough.
But the thing, Nick, is that you look back to the big Brady banner when he was suspended for four games. Remember, Belichick said he doesn't do marketing, he doesn't do all these other things around the team. Mm-hmm. I think it could be, the point could be made that Kraft and the marketing side has been very proactive in selling Cam to the audience, and Belichick sitting back is like, hey, we don't know who it is yet. Hey, Zoe and Glenn, indelicately as you may well do, say this on the radio and get this out there so Cam doesn't have the pressure.
He only oversees the Do Your Job crew and where they're setting their cameras
and
up.
And Mondillo's unemployed.
Here is Mike. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Hi, Mike.
What's going on?
So I was listening to yesterday, and I listened to some stuff that Wiggy had said, I think, the day before. And it just keeps kind of playing over and over again in my mind, in the discussion that, the ludicrousy that was brought up by Shannon Sharp, who's one of my favorite people, by the way, and Skip Bayless. Look, I think it's a lose-lose for Boston when it comes to how the media portrays Boston, how the media portrays this, all right? Doesn't matter if Cam Newton does great. If he does great, the media, the national media is still going to say, well, they haven't embraced him enough, like they did Tom Brady because he's black. Or if he does really bad, of course everyone's going to be on him. This is how Boston sports fans operate. If you don't produce, you are usually kind of run out of town. It doesn't matter what color you are. But, no matter what happens, if that's how it's going to be, and the whole concept of Peyton Manning and Drew Brees getting big contracts, even though they had injuries, the comparison is insane to me, because you're talking about two pocket passers, proven pocket passers. When you're an NFL owner, you're an NFL franchise, your job is to weigh risk versus reward of every single player. When you have a dynamic player like Cam Newton that is exciting to watch, but has the tendencies to get out of the pocket in situations that the injury proneness goes way up, the risk versus reward is vastly different than a pocket passer like a Peyton Manning or a Drew Brees. And his value obviously went down substantially because of the fact that he was injured last season and he couldn't win one out of eight games. All right, that's the difference. So for my buddy Shannon Sharp to be bringing this argument into it, it's absolutely ridiculous, and it's typical race baiting on his part.
It is, and it's you're Cam Newton. You're replacing Tom Brady. You're replacing the greatest ever. So clearly, you're going to be judged against him. And if you don't perform, then you're right. Patriots fans are going to be unhappy. It's not based on the fact that he's black.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the fact that they're expecting big things from him.
And this past year, we talked about it at length. There were times when Brady and the offense were booed. But I guarantee you, mm-hmm. next year, if Cam Newton throws a bad interception or if they lose a game late without getting a touchdown in the fourth quarter and the fans boo, the national conversation will be, Brady was there for 20 years, and he never was booed once. Cam Newton, in his second start at Gillette Stadium, gets booed off the field. I'm serious.
But, Greg,
that's
we had
happen.
On Brand X in the afternoon, we already had a preemptive, we don't want him dancing, doing the Superman thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So are there racial undertones to that conversation? So it's already preemptive. So if he struggles and is celebrating or wearing outfits that people criticize, it's going to be thought, oh, boy, why are they criticizing Cam for that?
So you're saying that you're talking about Felger
and Mez? Yeah.
So they can't say that they believe that Bill Belichick is not going to be a fan of excessive celebration or excessive social media without being accused of that being driven by race?
Well, didn't we discuss that Bill is not opposed to excessive celebrations, that he's fine with you celebrating on the field? So if we agree that Belichick's not against it, then why are they criticizing Cam preemptively for it?
Well, there's a clip from 2009. There is a clip from the year that NFL Films was allowed full, unfettered access to Belichick.
Yes.
Saying they need to be celebrating more.
Yes, he said, he said you should celebrate. I don't think he wants you to, go over to the goalpost and pretend to urinate
Bronx
on
spike.
Him.
Right.
Yeah. But
call it Party City.
To say that it just any kind of criticism that is directed at Cam Newton, I'm sorry, I don't believe it's because he's black. I don't.
And if there's been anything preemptive, Greg, it's been the media characterizing the Boston fans as not welcoming of Cam when that hasn't happened yet. So they're preemptively laying the foundation for this fall when Cam, as any quarterback would do, has a bad game, when the fans get on him to say it's not the interception they're booing, it's the man.
Well, and by the way, Wiggy said yesterday or the day before, I don't understand it, so I can't say it. So I'm sure that he will be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
think he'll have anything to say about it?
I think maybe he'll squeeze a few words in, yes, during the program. Here is Ken and what is trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Joe Tooney is a Patriot this year for $14.78 million. Franchise tag deadline left yesterday, so he'll stick around for that amount. Second highest cap hit on the team to Stephon Gilmore. And very important, although Ben Volen says maybe they'll trade him. Maybe they will to create cap space. I don't know.
I think they'll keep him, ride it out. He's arguably, if Gilmore is that important to the defense, Tooney could be that important to the offense this year, especially if you're going to have Cam Newton moving around trying to make plays. And then hopefully you groom a Michael Onwenu, the kid they drafted at guard from Michigan, to take his place next year. And you don't pay him that much money.
As far as the other franchise tag guys, the big one was Derrick Henry agreeing to a deal, 4 years, $50 million, 25.5 guaranteed in Tennessee. So they locked up Tannehill and Derrick Henry. People sleep on the Titans a little bit. They came in here and Henry had a huge game against the Patriots. But
yeah,
mostly people fear the Ravens and the Chiefs and not Tennessee anymore. Which, what do you think about that? Would you put New England fourth in that?
No, grouping? I would put New England third. I would, but Tennessee is right there, and they were they were right there. And I think you got to give it to Vrabel that he's done a really, really good job when it comes to coaching.
I would say Tennessee probably has, with this roster, a 2 to 3 year window, just like the Chiefs do, before things need to get on. A lot of these teams are all playing on a 2 to 3 year window, but Titans will definitely be in the mix this season.
Stidham working out yesterday per Mohamed Sanu's sideline hustle Instagram collaborative with Sanu, Hoyer, Jacob Johnson, and Dalton Keene. So the workouts continue there. Miles Garrett, by the way, got $100 million guaranteed of his new deal. Big happenings in Bristol, Tennessee. Fans at a NASCAR race, 20,000. Largest event with spectators since coronavirus, with concessions open. So Hillman is jacked about racing again. 1 week away from baseball's opening, we don't know where the Blue Jays are going to play their home games. They still have not cleared, because you got to quarantine when you go to Canada for 14 days. Home games at Rogers Center, whatever it's called now. Here's Buster Olney talking about
that. The Blue Jay situation is a mess. I mean, we're just a little bit more than a week away from this whole thing getting cranked up and started up, and it's still unclear what's going to happen with that team. You know, yesterday they met with officials, health officials in Canada. They're having a conversation because, of course, Canada has a 14-day quarantine rule, which for a team going in and out on road trips is a real difficult situation.
Might play in Buffalo. They open in Florida, so I guess they're okay until July 29th to figure that out.
Ken, I want you on the record on how this Sox team does.
Oh, boy. I mean, they just did agree to a deal, it looks like, with Zach Godley. So that changes everything.
Oh.
The Godley era begins.
Oh.
So, I mean, wild card. I'm going to go wild card.
You are?
Yep. On the books for the wild card.
All right.
By the way, props to Bradford. He broke news and he used his Bradfo Show podcast Twitter account, then retweeted it from his personal account, and then retweeted that from the EEI account. So he really was growing the brand.
Yeah, that's right, I did. Nobody knows how to work the system like I do, Curtis. They call me the Michael Bishop of WEEI.com.
Surface it.
What are the top five Bradfo accounts on Twitter?
There's at Bradfo Show, at Bradfo, at WEEI, at Suck It Laird, and of course, at Boom Sauce for Life.
That's at Fake Bradfo, burner accounts.
Bruce Cassidy, a finalist for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year Award. Pasternak back with the Bruins yesterday. It's the Greg Hill Morning.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sure.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, Ken, this will make you happy. A bill was proposed yesterday in the Massachusetts legislature, which would make mask wearing mandatory with a $100 fine. And in addition to that, mandatory, by the way, it would be a law. And in addition to that, if one were to travel to Massachusetts and they were to not quarantine, they would pay a $1,000 fine.
Woo!
And when it comes to businesses, this bill, which was proposed yesterday, would fine businesses who are not following coronavirus protocols. Apparently, the Office of the Attorney General has received more than 211 complaints about businesses that are not following the protocol.
And those are only from Ken.
So you have more than three people in an elevator, yes, or somebody's not wiping down the phone after every use. Or
the partitions.
Yeah.
Even the NBA has got the snitch line. Come on. This is not everybody's doing it.
It's pretty easy to identify when someone isn't wearing a mask. However, how does one go about tracking people that come from out of state and don't quarantine for the appropriate or mandated amount of time?
Who's doing it?
Yeah.
Who's issuing the mask fines?
We're adding people to our government. I'm sure we're employing new people every day that do this work, Greg. I mean, it's everybody's whole.
This bill was filed by State Rep Mindy Dom and Senator Harriet Chandler. And the state rep in Boston, John Santiago, who's an ER doctor, and he is fearing what is going to happen in the fall as a doctor, Ken, because he says that the reproduction number is going up. That's a goalpost move right there.
You're not a fan of that one?
Do you know what the reproduction number is?
I don't know, but mine's going down.
Is it the transmission rate? TR?
It is the number of people to which an infected person passes on the virus.
Yeah, oh, okay.
And it's up above one.
Above one is the danger. It is in mass now, above one?
Yes.
Jesus.
Ken's gone for the next week and a half.
If it goes like 1-1, now you got to start considering rolling stuff back. I mean, over a long period of time. Serious. You want a one or lower?
But I honestly don't know who's going to enforce this. And I said it earlier, but I mean it. I think there is going to be, as these gyms open up with the mask requirement, there are going to be people that have health issues that get injured running with a mask on. It is not healthy at all.
I think now you're just being goofy, Curtis.
I'm not being goofy at all. I'm being 100% serious. There was a woman who was relatively large, seven treadmills away from me, and she was like, she kept pulling it down, and they would go and they'd yell at her to put the mask back up.
Curtis, I don't know what her size has to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, because she was struggling.
Now you're bulk shaming.
Skinny people struggle too, man.
This is a losing argument for Curtis. He's got to stick with the suicide fear and the other fear and the other fear mongering he does.
I was aren't you allowed to work out outside?
But again, I don't understand why the law? I mean, why?
Because people can't be trusted to do things on their own.
But again, all I hear from the Burgermeister is about how great we're doing.
So
aren't people doing a great job of wearing masks and social distancing and washing their hands?
Not if you ask the guy in my neck of the woods, Coolidge Corner, who owns Michael's Deli, who's closing down on Mondays now to kick people out of there because he's got a mask issue every week. His employees are getting berated when they try to enforce the mask law.
Well, Stephen is an excellent business owner, and I support his right to do that.
So wait a minute. I think we have some audio from him.
Yeah.
He's upset because when people are coming in the store, his employees are suggesting that they should be wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to close down on Mondays because of the stress of this?
Stress, because there's always a customer who gets upset and then they get into an altercation. And it's if you were an employee of a business, would you want to stand there and say you've got to wear the mask?
No.
Of course
no,
not. Nobody
no,
would.
No,
and
it's
but
not,
you have to. No, and then some a-hole starts to argue with you.
But that's the position that the state or the city has put them into.
No, it's a private business and he's chosen to do it. So this is an employee who's saying, okay, I got to do what my boss is telling me to. Now you're going to yell at the guy because his boss makes him do this. I mean, it just sucks all around.
It's to put it in context too, in a place like Michael's Deli, they have a relatively small footprint for a retail space, so it's mm-hmm. not like there's a ton of space to get away from people.
Right.
You know, even like customers at the counter. So I can totally see their frustration.
Here is Steve, who owns Michael's Deli.
Probably at least once a day, I get someone telling me that it's not my business to tell them how to live their life, and a lot of times I'll pull it out of their pocket. They're like, I have it right here, but there's nobody in here, and I'm like, hi, me, I'm somebody. These people here, they're all somebody. If you don't want to put on a mask, I will have no problem at all asking you to never come here again. I don't want that to happen. I need your business. We all really need the business right now.
Curtis, texter wants to know if you wear your seatbelt.
Yeah, generally.
Okay.
Wow.
So what's the difference is what they're suggesting.
Running with a mask on and putting your seatbelt when you drive. I would say
that's
those are very
completely
different
parallel argument. What are you talking
one
about?
One goes across your chest and your lap, the other over your. Okay, never mind. Aren't you allowed to put a sign?
You get out of breath when you drive, Nick?
Yeah, I drive really intense.
Okay. I do from screaming.
I wear my mask. I don't want to lose my mask, so I put it over my eyes, Curtis. And
you drove it with me. I put mask over my eyes.
God. But wait a second. If you are a private business, you are entitled to say no shoes, no shirt, no service. So if you put a sign on the door that says no mask, no service. Where's the gray? What's the confusion? What's the problem, guy?
But that's the point. He looks like a bad guy. He doesn't want
to
be the bad guy. Yes, he does, because these customers are yelling at him. Instead, Greg, you have a law. Now it takes the pressure off Steven's business, and he can just say, look, it's a state law. I'm enforcing
it. Who's enforcing it? The police are being defunded. Who's going to enforce the mask law?
There's another goalpost.
Mask force?
Mask force.
Quarantine force? If somebody comes to it, like, what about people who come to work from out of state?
Berkeley College is going to have no Boston cops, but they're going to have a huge mask force.
They won't be armed.
Unarmed.
No, unarmed. No. Or they'll tase you if you don't have a mask on.
You don't feel for this business owner?
Organic pepper spray.
Yeah, no, I do feel for him because the government has put him in an unwinnable position.
Doesn't sound like it right now. Sounds like he's trying to protect his workers from that clip.
No, but they're making him be the person who has to, when it comes to his customers, has to berate them over their own personal choice.
Okay, so then make it a law so he doesn't have to.
Well, who's enforcing? So, wait a minute. So they're going to make it a, let's carry through your logic because you don't use a lot of logic sometimes, Ken. Yeah. So they're going to make
it
a law.
That's all I do.
They're going to make it a law. And the people who are choosing to not wear it, who come to Michael's Deli, just like those who choose to jaywalk, who's going to be enforcing the law? Are you expecting the kid who works at the deli making the Rubens to then call the police and then the Brookline police respond with like three or four units?
Three or four units. God, you make it so dramatic. I mean, okay, yes, call the police. Have a unit come over. They're right down the road. They stand there right at the corner.
We're going to need backup.
Would you like droplets with your peppers, banana, onion, cheese? How much?
I just, what kind of cheese do you have?
Not a Thanksgiving canish. Over.
If you don't know this by now, jeez, why are people so obstinate? I don't get it.
What do you mean?
Just wear a mask. What the hell's the problem? What? I just don't, I know it's not in the Constitution. I know it's not a law.
No, I listen.
Just
I wear it.
I know you do.
I do. But there are people like Curtis who believe when it comes to working out or other activities that maybe it's not the best thing for them to do. I don't know.
But you're in a company where you have to sign a waiver every time you go to this gym now that says you will not hold them liable for COVID or whatever. So everybody sign that and then let you run how you want to run, and mm-hmm. you're not going to sue the company. I think that should be allowed. You're paying a premium to be at this gym. You should be able to work out as you see fit.
If you go into Michael's Deli and don't wear a mask, you're just being an a-hole. I mean, you just
are. Yep. I agree. Because a lot of the people that were chirping about we got to get business back open are the same people that are being anti-mask hardos. They're like, well, we need business back open. This is ridiculous. Well, I'm not going to wear masks. Like, okay. But if you wanted the businesses to reopen, this is the guideline under which we have to perform right now. So just put the freaking mask on to go pick up your sandwich. What is the big deal?
Ken, is Dr. Fauci an idiot?
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm asking.
About what?
I'm asking, do you think Dr. Fauci is
an
idiot?
I think he's smart.
Okay, he said don't wear masks. So
March! What's the difference?
Honestly, what's the difference?
Well, that was spring. This is summer. The pandemic wasn't as bad. Now it's global.
But what's the difference?
It wasn't as bad in March. That's when they locked everybody into their homes.
But he said that prior to, and I'm sure if you gave him what we all usually take in a social round of golf, a mulligan, I'm sure he'd probably like to say, let's go back and do that as well.
A mulligan? That's insane. He said we shouldn't be...
Good job, Ken.
He said we shouldn't wear masks, and now it's literally all...
Said there was no need to wear masks at the time.
Okay, same difference.
New information has emerged since March.
Well, I don't know. He was he's the infectious disease guy. He's the smartest guy in the world.
I feel like this texter is correct. This could be enforced by Maskport.
Well done.
Hello, Larry.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello, Lawrence.
Is this Larry the lawyer?
2 days in a row. What a pleasure.
What's up, Larry?
You know, you got to look at it this way. When you allow adults to be adults, and they are adults, we don't have to make laws.
Mm-hmm.
When you tell somebody to be an adult and they act like a 2-year-old, that's mm-hmm. when laws are made. Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, they have the right to make laws to protect the citizens of this country in a public health crisis, which we are in. If everybody wore their masks like they were told to, we may not be here right now. So what do you want the politicians to do in this case when the people are acting like 2-year-olds?
Do you see a lot of people who aren't wearing their masks?
I do. I was actually in a coffee shop yesterday, and the manager has no mask. He's behind the counter, no mask. No, I didn't care. It didn't bother me. You know, I had my mask, and the person that was fixing my coffee had their mask on, so I was cool with it, but I've seen it. I see a lot of people walking around outside without masks. I mean, I do think that it is a thing. And look, if we want to get through this, and people are saying now, hey, best way to get through this is to wear a mask, I don't understand why we put our politicians in a position where they have to make a law because they have to treat us like we're kids.
No.
Because there are people out there that don't want to wear a mask. And by the way, I am anti-mask. I can't stand wearing it. I think it takes away the individuality of everybody out there. It makes it real easy to be nasty to people mm-hmm. when you're not looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know their facial expressions or what they're doing. You know, when you're in business and you're looking at body language, you lose that ability, especially as a lawyer, when you're talking to people and you can't tell what their body language is or what their facial expressions are. I think it's a very, very dangerous precedent, but I think right now when you balance that against, you know, what's going on in this world and how do we get back to normal, I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
No. And when it comes to fining people $1,000 who aren't quarantining, how do you?
I have a much bigger issue with that one. I don't know how in the world you can enforce that. I really don't. I mean, are you going to pull people over now because they have an out-of-state license plate? That doesn't seem to me to be constitutional. You know, you need probable cause to pull somebody over. So other than that, how do you even know that somebody's from another state, you know?
Yeah.
It just, I don't know how they enforce it. I think that's more symbolic. I mean, I know that Maine has this 14-day thing, and, you know, New Hampshire and Vermont I might have, if I remember, I can't remember, I might have driven to one of those states and not quarantined. But nobody says anything. Nobody's doing anything. You know, they're not really enforcing those because I don't think there is a mechanism to enforce it without violating everybody's constitutional protections. You know, you have the right to be free of search and seizure. You have the right to only be pulled over when there's probable cause. Is it probable cause that you have a license plate from another state? Now, that would be insane. Because then that opens up the door to everything else.
But if you pass this
again,
law...
Again, this is what we kind of talked about yesterday, Greg, the erosion of our constitutional rights.
Yeah.
Because of this, you know... But I mean, I don't know if it's arrogance or stupidity of people. I don't know which one it is, but here we are.
Some people think it's stupidity that I even discuss the topic, you know, because...
It's important that you discuss the topic.
Because
debate, Greg, we used to have a country that you could debate things. Right. We used to have a country where you could take an opposite position just to take an opposite position, just to ferret out the truth. We're not allowed to do that anymore. But not the way that we used to. I think you would agree with that.
But if this law passes in Massachusetts, which makes the quarantine mandatory $1,000 fine, mm-hmm. aren't you eliminating any kind of tourist revenue that you're going to get till the end of the year? I mean, who's going to
come? Well, not just tourist revenue. Now, think about all the businesses that have conferences, the mm-hmm. businesses that bring people in to interview. Hey, I'm going to have an interview. All right, we're going to bring you in on Monday, and we'll see you in Tuesday, 2 weeks.
Well, they're doing that by Zoom now. Yes. So, you know, that. But I don't understand. What about people who work from out of state? How are they going to go to their job? Like, if you live in New Hampshire.
Right.
You work in Massachusetts. You can't go to your job.
Listen, if I was, you know, I might be in Rhode Island right now, and I can tell you that if I was in Rhode Island, every license plate that I see is from Massachusetts right. going into it. You know, again, I don't know, Greg, unless you have a roadblock and say, hey, where's your coronavirus test from today? I don't know what you do.
I don't buy into a bunch of conspiracies, but Larry, thank you for calling, by the way. Larry the
lawyer. Yeah, no worries.
I don't buy into a bunch of conspiracy theories, but... Are you up to speed on the facial recognition theory with regard to social distancing and wearing masks?
And mask wearing? No, I have not seen this.
I don't want to sound like a Looney Tune. But if you were a government and you were trying to develop, make sure that your facial recognition software mm-hmm. and your facial recognition data on every person in the country was mm-hmm. the best that it could be, mm-hmm. you would need to have those people distanced so that you could, you know, right. zoom in from a...
On the face.
And if you wanted to be able to affect partial facial recognition,
yes.
you would want those people to be wearing
a mask. Yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
And also, the moon landing was fake.
I thought you were going to say a Cam Newton jersey.
and a Cam Newton jersey.
I wish that Apple would update iOS so that Face ID would allow you to recognition with a mask. Are they?
Yes,
that would be a game changer.
I think there was a news story a couple weeks ago. I know, like
I'm so
what
tired
a
of having
first
to enter the
world problem to have to pull it down and have to enter the passcode. Meanwhile, there are 9-year-old slave children making sneakers halfway around the world.
But that got dark real fast.
That LeBron likes.
Sorry, you have to pull your phone to your mask down, Deirdre. But
there are
8-year-old children building World Cup stadiums
and falling to their death.
What is penicillin?
Well, I mean, this texter says that
toilets.
What's different about this than sobriety checkpoints is what this texter is suggesting. Is that a reasonable argument? That you're, when it comes to the Constitution, you're stopping everybody who's driving on a road, and if they're not doing something, that's not necessarily constitutional, but they've determined that you can do that.
I guess it's an interesting example.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's a parallel, but it's interesting.
And then my final question, because this is what I do, is I just ask questions. If this law passes, which was filed yesterday here in Massachusetts, which would make wearing a mask mandatory and you'd be fined $100 if you don't, it would make not quarantining a $1,000 fine. If that passes, do you think that makes it easier to expect that a mandated vaccine law would pass here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
In theory, yes, but a mandatory vaccine law, I think, would be challenging for them. Well, I don't know. I mean, we already have it for school stuff. I don't know what would happen with that, but I think the danger lies in that, you know, with mandatory school vaccines, whether it's MMR or whatever else the kids need to get, these have a history of studies and safety protocols, and we know what they do. This is this new vaccine. You don't have that info.
I have an idea that Diana Plouse, our favorite talk show host in New Hampshire, will love. We will enforce the mask law, but ICE will be doing the enforcement, and they will check your immigration status as well.
Nice. If you're going to have a Karen at a Trader Joe's in California rip her mask off and start chucking, you know, peanut butter filled pretzels all over the store because I have a breathing condition, even though it's fine to wear it. How do you think the vax law is going to go? How do you think?
Not so great. Not great, Bob.
Not great.
Test run didn't
look great, Bob. Not great.
Not great.
Colin Drudge didn't.
People are fatigued.
All right.
They are.
Well, did you make an attempt to get the representative on the show this morning?
I have reached out, yes. All right. Mr. John Santiago.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll hear from him. He's an ER doctor and a state rep, and he's the one who is pushing the mandatory mask law here in Massachusetts. We'll be back with Danielle in the news next.
It's the Greg Hill Show
on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news.
In 3, 2, 1.
With your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team, assemble!
There are now two Northeast Men's Health locations, one in Dedham next to Legacy Place and the other in Salem, New Hampshire. You can find them online at northeastmenshealth.com.
The president would like you to know he and Fauci are on the same team, despite what you may have heard previously. This is all in relation to an op-ed piece written by Peter Navarro, who is an assistant to the president. He's the director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing
trade
Policy.
Pretty smart guy.
Yep. And his op-ed piece, which I think ran in USA Today, was titled, Anthony Fauci Has Been Wrong About Everything I Have Interacted With Him On.
Uh-oh, Ken.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
What a column this is. Oh.
Hit piece is what it is.
So the president spoke out yesterday to reiterate that he's working with Fauci.
Okay. We're all in the same team, including Dr. Fauci. I have a very good relationship with Dr. Fauci, and we're all in the same team. We want to get rid of this mess that China sent us. So everybody's working on the same line, and we're doing very well. We're doing well in a lot of ways, and our country's coming back very strong.
I don't know how you can disagree with what Navarro wrote. In late January, when Peter Navarro was making the case on behalf of the president to stop flights from China, Fauci fought against it.
Check.
When I warned in late January in a memo of possibly deadly pandemic coming to the United States, Fauci told the media not to worry.
Check.
When I, Peter Navarro, was working feverishly on behalf of the president in February to help engineer the fastest industrial mobilization of the healthcare sector in our history, Fauci was still telling the public in China, the public, that the China virus was low risk. Check. When we were building a new mask capacity in record time, Fauci was flip-flopping on the use of masks.
Flip-flopper.
Check.
Check. Check.
And when Fauci was telling the White House Coronavirus Task Force that there was only anecdotal evidence in support of hydroxychloroquine to fight the virus, I confronted him with specific scientific studies providing evidence of safety and efficacy. A recent Detroit hospital study showed 50% reduction in the mortality rate when the medicine is used in early treatment.
He's Check. Using hydroxychloroquine as his argument for?
Hey, Pence, get lost. Trump, Navarro, 2020. Book it.
So when,
all you want, brother.
He actually noted here, Navarro said it was definitely going to be Cam Newton. Fauci is still standing by Stidham as the week one started.
But is there a single thing other than the fact that this is a virus that all of the experts have agreed on, Ken?
Of course not. You go back to January, nobody had the idea what this thing was.
Unprecedented.
Let's go back to January. Do a hit piece in July.
Listen, Curtis, quiet for a second. The president is talking. I completely appreciate the fact that Navarro overlooked the fact that I completely ignored Obama's guidelines on what would happen if a pandemic came. Thank you very much, Peter. Go rogue whenever you want.
Bob Kraft, how do you feel about this great mask initiative since you had to fly a personal plane to China to get N95s from Massachusetts?
Let's let's not.
I actually had to use up some of the gas that we had put in there, thinking we'd be going to Super Bowl 54. It was more of a write-off. But if Charlie Baker wants to cry on the tarmac, all he wants, you're welcome.
But Matt, this guy is the infectious disease guru, the top guy in the country on that. How do you not know that a mask will prevent the spread of a virus? Why would you ever say not to wear a mask?
Fauci's not like 100% still on masks, I don't think. I mean, he's
just answer that question. Why would you not be advising people to wear
a
mask?
There's a shortage on masks, and especially the N95s.
That's
still,
not answering
there's
my
still
question.
A shortage on
That's
it.
Still not answering my question.
Yes, it is answering your
Why
question.
Why would you not advise the public to wear a mask?
Because cloth masks are not effective, really.
You can't answer the question.
Yeah. I'm trying to, but you just say, oh, you're not answering the question.
You're not.
You're Why trying you? To save the masks for people in the healthcare industry that needed them at the time.
So he lied to save the
masks. He didn't lie. He said that.
I
you
can't.
Too.
And see,
I
Greg just sits there and enjoys it. The
well,
sadism
because
on the show.
You're not answering the question. I can't.
You can't win with Ken, though, because you present him with facts, and he pivots. Well,
you're wondering on masks. Nobody's still sure on the masks. I'm not a mask guy.
You've yet to mention what happened in Florida with the testing. How come that hasn't been a topic on the show?
No, you want to expand on
dun,
that?
Dun, dun, dun.
Sports.
The labs that were neglecting to report the negative test results so that they were 100% positives?
Seems a little inappropriate.
Wait, would they forget?
I have no idea. That's
okay.
Like,
I just forgot about
who
that.
Who cares about that? Cases are out of control in Florida. Deaths are piling up.
Data,
let's hone in on a couple. A lab that got it wrong. I mean, jeez.
Labs.
All right. Plural. What else, then? So they're getting along, Fauci and Trump.
Allegedly.
Swimmingly.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were one of the out-of-towners who went to a Gloucester beach last weekend, congratulations, you ruined it for everyone. Because of all the traffic and the non-social distancing adherence at Gloucester beaches last weekend, they have said that this weekend the beach parking lots will be closed to non-residents. Oh. So you either have to have a beach sticker or a license and registration to show that shows you are a Gloucester resident.
Well, that's because Ken went to see Bradfoe.
And there
that's,
it is.
That's the issue.
Sorry about that. I wish I could quit you, Ken.
Switch.
A minimum of 12 feet is required between blankets and towels. They will have additional staff on hand to enforce the restrictions. Pam Webb is a Gloucester resident.
I don't know. We've been here a long time. We want to enjoy it, too. We want everybody to enjoy it, but we want to be safe. That's what's most important. Some guy put his chair almost in back of me, and she stood up and said, can you just move? She can't even move. And they don't respect it.
Fauci says 12 people per beach.
Yeah, that's it. That's done. No matter how big it is.
Who's enforcing it? They have extra people.
Beach patrol. Yeah.
Okay, the beach patrol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mask patrol.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Baywatch.
Right. That's good.
Well, with the discussion that's happening currently with the Redskins name change, it only makes sense that locally we would see some more activity around some of our towns. And there's a petition online that's been launched by a former Tewksbury High School student to change the name of the Tewksbury Redmen. Grace Morris is currently a sophomore at Cal Poly Tech. And she started a petition on change.org while working on a school project. As of right now, just over 7,300 people have signed this petition. Her assignment was to create a persuasive document, so she decided to take a look at whether Tewksbury's mascot is racist.
It's just Redmen. It's not like Wamisset, which are Native Americans around here, or Wampanoag. It's Redmen. And I think characterizing our mascot Redmen by Native American skin tone is just racist and very inconsiderate.
Inconsiderate. A little up-talking there.
A little bit, just a touch.
Well, should they do this, they should know that they did this in my home country of Stowe.
Yeah, buddy.
With the Neshoba Chieftains.
And that cost how much?
$2 million is what it is projected to cost to eliminate the chieftain mascot.
Well, I feel like moving forward, we have to appropriate part of our school budgets to just things that need to be changed and eliminated.
Well, a lot of money, a lot of overflow money in the schools right now.
Oh, big time.
A couple million to change the mascot, just a drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm.
But it's priceless to be PC.
Very true. Now, since we've been talking about masks a lot this morning, there's a woman who was in the news recently who's suing to get half a GoFundMe that was set up for a Starbucks barista. There was a woman in San Diego who posted a photo of a barista named Lennon Gutierrez. When she had gone into Starbucks, Lennon asked her to put a mask on per the recommendation of the county. And,
well, Starbucks is one of the companies that has made it mandatory.
Yes. So
I think Best Buy just did it as well.
Really?
And Walmart is considering it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So The woman claims that she has, her name's Amber Giles. She claims that she has a medical exemption, cannot wear a mask because of medical issues. So when the barista asked her to put a mask on, she put a photo of him online and berated him about it. A GoFundMe raised over $100,000 for the barista, and now she is looking to sue him for half of that money. She said next time she's going to wait for the police, but here's Amber talking about the lawsuit.
I get shortness of breath, dizziness, and it messes with the heartbeat. And I do have asthma as well, and I do get maskne. So there's several things going on, and not only that, it doesn't even work. It was discrimination, and everybody's okay with it and enabling and rewarding that kind of behavior. I don't care if he gave it to Lennon. I'm going to sue him for half of it.
Okay.
Whoa, all so right. She suffers from maskne.
Maskne.
So she got the medical exemption.
Yeah, okay.
Can you buy those on the black market like you can buy a handicap parking thing?
Or a medical card.
And I do get maskne. Yeah.
She gets okay. maskne.
So does the rest yes. of the world that has a sensitive face. Like, no. Get out of here.
Yes, it's a real issue.
Hey, wash your mask.
Are we going to see Jessica Simpson out there like, that's why there's new proactive mask edition. You simply line this face-altering bleach all over your mask.
Oh.
It is. You don't think proactive is nothing but just like bleach in gel
it's
form?
Very, very chemically. Very
it's
chemical,
awful. Yeah. I don't care if I lost that sponsorship for myself.
Are we being played by these people? Do they just want to be on the national news? Like, I can't imagine they're this dumb.
Is there a bigger topic of discussion in this country than the mask?
No. Stidham.
I mean, it's amazing.
No,
to
there
me.
Is not. There is not.
It's amazing to me.
There was a little altercation at an airport in Florida, surprisingly, not over masks.
And now,
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
Well, when you mix a delayed Spirit Airlines flight with the state of Florida, you get the following: three employees attacked because of a delayed flight. Actually, physically attacked. Mm-hmm. According to Spirit, some guests became combative following a delayed flight. They were headed to Philly from Fort Lauderdale. And the women started throwing miscellaneous items such as phones, shoes, full water bottles, metal boarding signs, and fast food at the employees. One woman physically attacked another employee at the gate. And it's 2020, so there's video. Here's the sound.
Were they booked on another future Spirit flight or what?
I think they were held back pending maybe some charges.
An extended stay in Florida?
Yeah, I don't know if they're getting to Philly anytime.
Did you bring two masks? That's $35 upcharge.
Exactly.
Ah!
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Yes. The debate rages between schools whether or not they're going to have in-person classes. Some universities have opted to say yes. Some are saying remote learning only for the fall semester. Rice University in Texas is going to resume on-site classes in August. However, they're going to do it outside in tents, and they've asked students to bring their own laptops and chairs.
Huh.
So you have to bring your own chair
to
class.
Chair.
BYOC.
So you're paying $50,000, but you got to bring your own chair?
Correct.
That doesn't seem fair.
Correct.
Are they going to have
misters?
Can
you bring your own germs?
Are they going to have misters outside?
No misters.
No misters?
No misters. Misters are verboten.
Castiglione has to bring his own chair this year, too. But it's going to be safer than the one he filled.
Listen, Joe's going to do that first game from the ballpark.
That's awesome.
Like, absolute savage. How old is Joe?
He
got it!
Will never not be funny.
The Red Sox.
I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just. What is Joe? 65?
73.
73.
Whoa.
And the guy refuses to not show up at the ballpark on July 24th to do that game.
It's his passion, man.
I heard Joe does them from a Bosu ball. Works on his core.
Can you imagine that? Oh, my Lord.
Red Sox baseball back here at WEEI on the 24th. Ken Laird will be sitting at home in a mask, mm-hmm. listening to that game every inning, every second.
Of course. Sean McDonough, 22 games. I counted them up.
Lou,
great to have McDonough back in.
Lou doing some games?
Lou's doing 15, I counted.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Coming up, Mike Tyson's next opponent will definitely have the advantage when it comes to biting. We will get to that news next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.